Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 50. Perhaps someone will ask, how are the dead to be raised up? What kind of body will they have? What a stupid question. The seed you sow does not germinate unless it dies. When you sow, you do not sow the full-blown plant, but a kernel of wheat or some other grain. Then it is given the body God designed for it, with each kind of seed getting its own kind of body. Not all flesh is the same. Human beings have one kind, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. Then there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. Heavenly bodies have a beauty of their own, and earthly bodies have a beauty of their own. The sun has one kind of brightness, the moon another, the stars another, and star differs from star in brightness. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is a perishable body. What is raised is incorruptible. What is sown is ignoble. What is raised is glorious. Weakness is sown, strength is raised up, a natural body is sown, a spiritual body is raised up. If there is a natural body, then there is also a spiritual body. The first Adam, as Scripture says, became a living soul, but the last Adam has become a life-giving spirit. That is, the natural comes first, not the spiritual. After that comes the spiritual. The first, being from the earth, is earthly by nature. The second is from heaven. As this earthly one was, so are we who are of the earth. And as the one from heaven is, so are we in heaven. And we who have been modeled on the earthly likewise will be modeled on the one from heaven. Put another way, sisters and brothers, I declare to you that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither can the perishable inherit what is imperishable. Here ends the reading for this day. Thanks be to God. Continuing on our Lenten sermon series, it has been called Reclaiming Christian Essentials. Do I got this right, Kenny? There we go. Based on the book Speaking Christian by Marcus Borg. So this is our sixth week of our series, and we're getting towards the end of it. We have done a lot of reclaiming in these past 6 weeks. We have reclaimed inclusivity over exclusivity in our faith, acknowledging that just because Jesus is our way, truth, and life does not mean that God does not reveal God's self in other ways and traditions. That's what Michael spoke about in his sermon last Sunday. We have held up other biblical meanings of salvation beyond being saved from sin and going to heaven. These include all the ways that salvation is talked about in the Bible: salvation as liberation from bondage, as return from exile, as rescue from peril, from blindness to seeing again, from death to life, from infirmity to well-being, from fear to trust, from injustice to justice, from violence to peace. I think we need to hear this in our world so much right now. We have reclaimed the meaning of repentance as returning to God and going beyond the mind that we currently have. We have reclaimed the other important meanings of Jesus' death beyond atonement, such as God willing to go all the way to stand up against imperial oppressive authorities, and Jesus' willingness to sacrifice his own life while working to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We have reclaimed the centrality of liberation, returning home from exile, healing, and finding community in our relationship with God. Our relationship is not only about sin and forgiveness. Today we're going to delve into what we know and believe about heaven. Heaven in the Bible does not only or always refer to some understanding of an afterlife, but we will get into those meanings in a few moments. But first I want to look at the other biblical meanings of this word in our text. Sometimes the word heaven refers to the place where God resides, such as in the Lord's Prayer that we speak aloud every Sunday, our Creator who art in heaven. Sometimes heaven is the word used for where God is. Sometimes the word heaven is interchangeable with the word sky. Revelations 21:1 begins, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." That is a new earth and a new sky. In the Gospels of Mark and Luke, the phrase kingdom of God is used often, but in Matthew, because of his Jewish reverential avoidance of saying the word God out loud, the word heaven is used as a synonym for God. Matthew refers to the kingdom of heaven over and over instead of the kingdom of God. But the word heaven, by and large, has referred to a blessed afterlife for many centuries. Heaven is the hope for life beyond physical death. And this did not actually come to the forefront of Christianity until about 1000 AD. But way before that time and all the way up until now, we humans have wondered and imagined at great lengths what happens to us the moment after we die. In recent years, those wonderings and imaginings have come to life on the silver screen. Movies such as What Dreams May Come, Ghost, City of Angels, Beetlejuice, and Coco, which I saw this week, explore our beliefs and best guess at what lies beyond. The truth is, we can't know for sure until we experience death. There are folks who have had near-death experiences and report a tunnel and bright light. They experience that there is something after this life. Many believe in a three-tiered universe, which includes heaven, purgatory, and hell. And others, including Buddhists, Hindus, and a minority of Christians, have affirmed reincarnation. Pope Gregory the Great declared a belief in reincarnation to be heretical for Christians in the 500s. Scripture gives us some ideas about life after death. Paul shares in his letter to the community in Rome that he did not believe that we die unto nothingness, but that we die unto God. He says, "If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." In 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks about his belief in the difference between our physical bodies and spiritual bodies. He says our physical body is like a seed, and our spiritual body is like the full-grown plant. There is a continuity, but a difference between the two. He describes our heavenly bodies as incorruptible, glorious, and strong. As a pastor, I have been asked many questions about life after death, and even questions about what we will look like after we die. From a trans-identified person came this question: "If my body goes through a transition on earth, will I be recognizable to my family in heaven when I die?" When I was a hospital chaplain, visiting those who were gravely ill, I was witness to many different responses. Some were worried about loved ones who would remain on earth, but they looked forward to leaving the pain of their bodies behind. Others, carrying great guilt and shame, sought for assurance of forgiveness, both from humans they had harmed and from their Creator. Personally, I do believe our earthly life is not the only realm of our existence. But I also admit that I cannot know for certain what happens to us when we die. I greatly identify with Marcus Borg's comments at the end of his brief chapter about heaven. He says this, So is there an afterlife? And if so, what will it be like? I don't have a clue. But I am confident that the one who has buoyed us up in life will also buoy us up through death. We die unto God. What more that means, I don't know, but that is all I need to know. I wish I had more to tell you on this Palm Sunday, when we begin our remembrance of Jesus' last week of his earthly life. What I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt is that Jesus' actions and compassion this side of death has made a huge difference in my life and has reverberated for centuries, empowering and liberating countless communities and individuals. I believe in heaven, and I believe that what happens in heaven is important. But I know much more about the importance and impact of our actions and compassion on this side of death. We have the ability to empower and liberate countless others, including ourselves, by following in the footsteps of Savior Jesus. The March for Our Lives was not even 24 hours ago yet, and I've had so many conversations with you, with others who have been hopeful about what they saw and experienced, about the impact of our actions and compassion in this life, and our ability to bring about peace and justice. The afterlife is God's business, but let us focus on the here and now. May it be so. Amen.